WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A child has died in Lubbock, Texas, after contracting the measles during an outbreak in that area. KRLD's Chris Fox.
Hospital officials at Covenant Children's in Lubbock confirming the death of an unvaccinated school-aged child. Also, the 20 being hospitalized, all unvaccinated children, ages ranging from infants to predominantly school age. Hospital Chief Medical Officer Dr. Lara Johnson says what makes this so dangerous is the low vaccination rate.
And as we see those rates start to decline across the nation, then we'll see more outbreaks.
There is still hope.
Having two doses of measles vaccine confers 97% lifetime immunity.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
The Food and Drug Administration has canceled a key step in the process to make next season's influenza vaccines. CBS's Alexander Tin with the latest.
Usually the FDA's outside vaccine advisors meet every year to weigh in on what strain should be targeted by the upcoming season's annual flu shot. Those meetings are usually scheduled in early March so that flu vaccine makers have enough time to make shots before the fall and winter flu season. Now it's unclear if and when the FDA meeting will be rescheduled.
Hamas has handed over the remains of four Israeli hostages, and the Israeli Prime Minister's office says the identification process has begun. CBS's Christopher Cruz also reports.
At around the same time, a Red Cross convoy carrying dozens of Palestinians left a prison in Israel. The exchange came days before the first phase of the ceasefire in the Gaza Strip will end. The Trump administration's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, has said he wants negotiations on the second phase to begin.
Numerous topics covered today during President Trump's first cabinet meeting with his new administration. He has backed up Elon Musk and the DOGE task force, says he wants to give education back to the states, and when it comes to the Environmental Protection Agency and its director.
I spoke with Lee Zeldin, and he thinks he's going to be cutting 65% or so of the people from environmental.
New York City has marked with an event in Memorial Plaza the anniversary of the 1993 bombing at the old World Trade Center when Islamic extremists first attempted to bring down the Twin Towers. Six people, including a pregnant woman, died in the February 26th blast. A U.S. company is aiming for its second lunar touchdown.
Falcon 9 carrying IM2's lunar lander Athena has successfully lifted off of Pad 39A. We're heading to the moon.
Athena, loaded with experiments, caught a lift with SpaceX from NASA's Kennedy Space Center today. Intuitive Machines made history last year as the first private entity to put a robot on the moon, though the triumph was marred by the lander tipping onto its side, something it hopes to avoid this time around. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here at the NFL Scouting Combine, where over 300 of the top college football players are here to meet and work out for NFL teams. It's also a chance to meet with players' agents. But Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he's focused on the draft.
For me, it's more about getting to know these college players and making sure that the time we spend, not only in the interviews, but watching them compete on the field, you know, the weigh-ins, just everything that they do here, just kind of immersing yourself in that to get to know these guys as well as you can. You don't have this opportunity again. This is kind of a 1 week. So what, to me, that's the priority.
College hoops. Wisconsin over Washington, 88-62. Marquette down Providence, 82-52. The Bucks losing to the Rockets in Houston by 3, 100-97.
We just didn't play right. They kept getting stops, but then we kept going down, turning the ball over and making bad plays on our own.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're headed to the theater this weekend, here's what you have to look forward to. Last Breath is a mystery thriller starring Woody Harrelson, where he and his crew of deep-sea divers are forced to brave the dark, deep waters to save a fellow crew member. The film is based on a true story, but has no reviews in yet, so proceed with caution. My Dead Friend Zoe also opens in wide release. The dark comedy drama tells the story of an Afghanistan army vet who has an odd relationship with her deceased best friend. The cast includes Sonequa Martin-Green, Ed Harris and Morgan Freeman, and with almost 40 reviews, it's pulling in 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. I have to say, I'm intrigued. No Address also opens this weekend and follows a group of people dealing with homelessness. There are no reviews yet, but the film stars Beverly D'Angelo, William Baldwin, and Lucas Zuman. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, maybe a sprinkle or flurry, low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, a clearing sky by the afternoon and warmer again, highs low 40s. Windy with maybe some sprinkles Friday, high upper 40s to 50. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico, who wrote the iconic substitute teacher sketch. Rich will also make the popcorn pick of the week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for matinee on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, hit me, cut it, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Aho, hey Kargi, to all of our friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio, where we discuss local and national Native news stories and events. I want to shout out Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition, for supporting this segment of the show. It's producer Haley Cherry here today with our guest host and one of our favorite returning weekly guests and Ho-Chunk relative, Arvina Martin.
Hello. Happy to be here, Haley.
Hey, it's so awesome to have you join me today. Robert's taking a little evening off, which is very well deserved for him. And we got a good show today, don't we?
Yeah, I'm excited. We are going to be speaking with an amazing woman in Indian country here shortly, Ruth Ann Thorne. Who is an entrepreneur and a creative artist as well. I think that I always think it's hard to find people that can do both the creative and the entrepreneurial, kind of more the business side. Like it's, to me, those are not two skills that go together naturally or commonly. So I am super excited to speak with her about, you know, how she balances everything and her work.
Yeah, me too. So a little bit about Ruth Ann Thorne. She is an enrolled member of the Rincon tribe, and that's based kind of near the San Diego area in California. And she is the producer and host of This Is Indian Country. So that's awesome. That was a new series that I am just kind of familiarizing myself with. And a couple of those episodes took place here in Minnesota, which is really exciting. And Arvina, I don't know, I haven't had the chance to hang out with you in Minnesota yet.
No, I haven't. I haven't been to Minnesota since we first started, since I started consistently coming on. So it's something that's got to happen.
Well, for sure. We got to show you around the, what do they call it? The American Indian Cultural Corridor in Minneapolis, where it has, I think it's like over 50 Native organizations that are Native-led and Native-serving in our community here. And then we got to get you into the newly remodeled Minneapolis American Indian Center, too.
Absolutely. I would love to see all of those places and that are important to the urban Indian community in the Twin Cities. We don't have the same kind, you know, the same numbers, so we don't have a lot of the similar things like a cultural corridor or anything like that. And it would be really cool, you know, with my former city council nerd background, to like think about what that kind of placemaking could look like in Madison.
Yeah, because you were the first Native American to be a city council person, or what do they call it in Madison? Alder person.
Yeah. I was the first Native person elected, and so far only Native person ever elected to the Madison Common Council.
Wow. So. Yeah. That's a big deal. And we're happy to have you on our show to talk about things like this. I want to shout out, since we're Ho-Chunk, you know, there's a couple of things going on, Ho-Chunk happenings. First off, Robert and I were doing a little bit of language on yesterday's show. And I want to shout out the Ho-Chunk Academy. They've been putting out some really great language revitalization content around Ho-Chunk language. And I think it was like just from watching one video, I learned how to introduce myself and my Ho-Chunk name.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah. So what should I do it? I kind of messed up yesterday, so I feel like I need to redeem myself a little bit.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, I'll say, Hinan Chikadagiwi, I greet you all. Ho-Chunk Raja, Chasha Pewangawe Ning, Hingai Day. And I say the Ho-Chunk name that they call me is Little Eagle Princess.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Can you remind me what clan your family comes from with Ho-Chunk Nation?
We are Warrior Clan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And for me, Ho-Chunk Rajra, Ho-Hamchikere Winga Hingaire. So my Ho-Chunk name is Ho-Hamchikere, which is the lightning in the distance. So, and I say, speak, you know, the bits that you know as often as you can. Every time you try to, you know, every attempt that you make to say our language and speak in our language, I feel like it's a blow to colonialism. It's a blow to all those people that wanted to take it away from us. And we're still trying to get it back.
Yeah, for sure. So I would just want to thank a big pinigigi to the Ho-Chunk Academy and everyone putting in the time to make those videos and share them with us. Really appreciate it. While we're on the topic of Ho-Chunk Nation, they have their Founders Day powwow coming up, I think, in March.
Yeah, well, it is March 29th.
Yes.
So we've got about a month till it that happens. It's going to be in La Crosse at the La Crosse Center. It looks like there's going to be two grand entries, one at noon and one at 7, with a moccasin game at in the morning. And Elena Terry, I believe, is going to be making food.
Ooh.
Oh, maybe not.
Oh no. Okay.
I thought I saw something. I don't want to commit. Elena Chef Terry, because she's got plenty going on, and I thought I saw it on yes, it does say meal at 5 p.m. featuring Elena Terry and Wild Berries. So
cool. Well, I wanted to ask you this. I think last Wednesday, or maybe it was a couple Wednesdays ago, do you dance when you go to the Ho-Chunk powwows?
I do. I am a traditional Ho-Chunk dancer, so the scrub style dance that people see frequently, for those of you who are not familiar with our dance, you can look that up, or Ho-Chunk traditional. And I wasn't a traditional dancer growing up. I was a shawl dancer, a fancy shawl dancer. But then, you know, I got to college, and I just always thought our regalia, like our outfits, were so beautiful. And I really wanted to dance with a beautiful panel of ribbon work on my skirt, and the hiyapoch on my shirts, the silver kind of button with the arms on them. And wear a pahke, which is the beadwork that kind of falls down behind the person wearing it, like attached to necklaces or to your hair.
Oh, beautiful.
So, yeah. So I'm not a competitive dancer, and but I like to dance, again, because it's the same kind of thing, stuff that they tried to take away from us. And I don't have to be a good dancer, but, you know, I'm out there and it makes me happy, and makes me feel like I'm doing something positive besides just getting out and being active and moving.
Yeah, I like too that you brought up that you don't dance, you know, for competition. And I think that's kind of been, you know, a little bit more of a change in recent years is, and that might be a thing that's holding people back, you know, people who don't know how to dance or people who are reconnecting to their culture. When you bring in the competitiveness of it, it kind of takes away the joy. And the main reason behind it is you're dancing for your ancestors and those that can't be there or couldn't do it before.
Yeah. And I, you know, and I certainly, I feel kind of two ways about it because I agree with the take that, that you have, Haley, but I also love to see, competitive, athletic, graceful dancers that are pushing the boundaries. I mean, I feel like that's where we get all the innovation and evolution. So I think there's a place for both of them. But I stick to the watching when it, spectator side when it comes to competitive dancing.
Yeah, I mean, it is very entertaining and it's beautiful to watch those competitive competitions. I don't know about me personally, maybe one day. But yeah, I know we got about less than 30 seconds left. So we're going to take a break and you're listening to Native Roots Radio and we're going to be back with Ruth Ann Thorne and Arvina Martin. Stay with us.
We are Alusa Nation.
Activism in the 21st century takes many forms. For Minnesota Chippewa artist Rory Wakeemup, it's funktivism. He uses humor, satire, and regalia to challenge social and environmental injustice. Smart Wars is Wakeemup's latest solo exhibition. It's a bold mix of indigenous heritage with modern commentary. Through his multimedia art, Wakeemup challenges perceptions and sparks conversations about Native resilience, climate action, and truth-telling. See Smart Wars at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis, February 27th through April 5th. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Do you have a vehicle you no longer need? Are you a little cash-strapped? Rudy Luther Toyota will pay you for your used vehicle. It's really simple. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com, answer a few simple questions, and Rudy Luther Toyota will get you an instant offer. Then they will set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they will handle all the paperwork and coordinate getting you your check. It's that simple. It's a fast way for you to get rid of the vehicle you no longer need, putting money in your hands. For more information, head to RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Ricky Bedlock of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio right here.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. It's producer Haley Cherry, and we have guest host Arvina Martin, who is executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, joining us and filling in for Robert Pilot today. Thanks, Arvina.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, we got a guest on with us now for the next couple segments, and I'm really excited to talk to her. This is the first time I've been able to do this, talk to Ruth Ann Thorne on Native Roots Radio, so it's an honor. And Ruth Ann is the producer and host of This is Indian Country. Thank you, Pinagigi, Ruth Ann, for coming on.
My pleasure. So you got me inspired to speak my own native tongue, which is Peokuichim, otherwise known as our colony name, which is Luseno. So Mi'iyam Palov Tukamet, Yakai, Ruth Ann Thorne, Rincon Tribe. So I said good afternoon to you beautiful people. And I'm working on it. That's my commercial. And I was a big fail in language class. You can ask my dad, but I need to go back.
It'll be there for you waiting, and it'll be happy to see you return.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting, you know, as Indigenous people, our language and the way that we communicate, a lot of people don't know, is at least for our tribe, and I think for most, is verbal. So we didn't have a written language. And I think it's really interesting when we are in language class, now there, you know, you kind of follow along with the actual, you know, written language, the best way that they can translate it. Sometimes I think it's better to just listen to it, because when I'm trying to read it with all of the little dots and everything on there, I get really confused. But if I just listen, it's amazing how that generational memory in our gene pool, it just kind of comes back.
Absolutely. That's a lovely way to think about it too, is it being this generational knowledge that is in your brain and in your heart somewhere, and it just needs to be triggered to kind of unlock it. I think that's a really beautiful way to think about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think so too. That, and I was saying too, with the Ho-Chunk Academy and just learning Ho-Chunk and being able to listen to those videos and hearing it playback is kind of like this, a similar learning experience that I have to Ruth Ann, and kind of hearing it, you're able to hear the pronunciation and kind of spell it out how it sounds to you. And that's helped me learn as well. And then also, yeah, I think it does kind of re-trigger that language memory, because in the end, I'm able to, I think, pronunciate our Ho-Chunk words a little bit better. Just by hearing it too.
Well, I think that it's something we don't think about every day, but when you think about the fact that we've inherited, you know, our height, our eye color, our skin color, we've also inherited within that, you know, cellular level, the memory. And I think that's also why we also have unfortunately inherited this generational trauma. Because within the cell layers, you know, within our nervous system, all of everything that makes us up. And when we talk about as Native people that we honor our ancestors and we're here because of our ancestors, that is an actual truth, that all of the cells that are in our body are all as a result of thousands of years of being on this land. And so we are also very much in touch with the land itself, because when our physical bodies have gone into the earth, especially places that we've resided for thousands of years, our DNA actually can communicate with that ground itself, because our ancestors have been buried there. So it's really interesting when you start to look at the way that we think as Native people and our connection to the earth. Science is now showing that this is actually a scientific idea. It's not a spiritual one. So I just find that to be so fascinating.
And I think that there's going to be, and maybe not too soon, given the way the state of federal grant money being distributed is, but I think that we are going to learn that a lot of our stories and a lot of our beliefs and traditions are going to be borne out in science. I mean, you see, when Australia had those fires in 2020, they found that land that was managed according to traditional Aboriginal, you know, ways were in far better shape than those that were using standard westernized fire science. You know, our beliefs, our traditions have value. And I just know that science is going to bear that out someday.
And I think it's actually happening now. So my show that I produced, which by the way, started in Minnesota.
Ooh, Minnesota, I'm a coach.
I give you ladies a little background. So I come from an art background. And I had attempted, you know, to create a film series called Art of the City. And Art of the City was born out of the idea that a lot of the times when a great artist is here, they don't really get to tell their own story from their own voices. And this series was Native and non-Native. It was, just really famous artists. I'd go into a city that they had lived in a really long time. And part of the idea was to think about if they had lived somewhere else, if their artwork would look differently. You know, thinking back historically, like you think about the great impressionists and you look at their art, and they all lived in Paris, you know, thinking about, well, if they lived, you know, in Hawaii, we probably wouldn't be seeing the same things that we're seeing in museums. So that led me on this journey of really taking a video crew in to interview artists that were a little bit older, most of them, so that they could tell us about their life and also how they created their inspiration through their own, on their own, with their own voice. So that ended up on PBS. It was a 12 episode series, shorts. They were about 10 minutes. And then I got a phone call from, I think, one of your tribal members there, Delina White, who's a fashion designer. And she had seen one of these. And she said, would you come to Minnesota and would you film this fashion show? And we just got through with COVID. I was just itching to get out there and film. And so we ended up in Minnesota. And it was so fantastic because not only did we film your fashion show, but we had an opportunity to film Sean Sherman at Owamini. You know, at that time, he was just up for the James Beard Award as an Indigenous chef. I just think globally, it didn't even matter that he was Indigenous. Right. And then we went to the Lower Sioux Reservation and talk about talent.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been there, but it's an art center. And we interviewed all these people. Well, anyway, that turned into this whole quest to go to cities and reservations and capture people. But the reason I bring this up is I was in LA and I was interviewing some ladies that were there who had done an art installation called Forest for the Trees. And you walked into this big warehouse and you saw all of these trees. And the whole idea behind this installation was based on Smokey Bear. And I don't know if you have Smokey Bear where you are, but we have Smokey Bear in California. So I got this really interesting lesson on how Smokey Bear became Smokey Bear. And in the 1920s, the federal government was trying to remove the rights for controlled burns by the Northern California tribes, primarily the Karuk tribe. And so they were not able to actually get their rights to burn removed. It went to vote and it was shot down because it was pretty rural and a lot of the people around there really, for whatever reason, wanted to allow them to continue with their traditional practices. Well, eventually they decided to create this propaganda called Smokey Bear. And the idea was to make the general public really afraid of fire. And they did it very successfully. So fast forward to, and this is a very longer story that I documented with these ladies, to today, when we just saw half of LA burn down. There has never been in the history of California fires that burned like this until they removed the rights of the tribes to control burn. Mm-hmm. And in the whole history, these tribes had the ability to talk to the trees and understand where to burn. And unfortunately, a lot of that wisdom has been lost. But that goes back to what you're talking about with the science, is that here it is.
Yeah, we figured it out, and have been knowing about it. And where can people watch those films, your series?
So if you don't have FNX, if you go to First Nations Experience, they just got a grant for a global streaming app that you can download, just like you download Netflix. It's
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News brief. A child in Texas has died from measles. Health officials say the child was unvaccinated. CBS's Omar Villafranca in Lubbock.
This outbreak is really impacting how hospitals treat their patients. Here at Covenant, they've set up a hub outside of the ER so someone with measles doesn't walk in and expose other people.
An exchange of hostages and prisoners between Israel and Hamas. And as the BBC's Sebastian Usher reports from Jerusalem,
the last remaining four dead hostages who were to be returned as part of that first phase of the deal are being returned.
Intuitive Machines lander named Athena has caught a lift with SpaceX out of NASA's Kennedy Space Center and is heading to the moon.
3, 2, 1, mission and liftoff.
The private company's lander is taking a fast track to the moon with a landing expected on March 6th, while hoping to avoid the fate of its predecessor, which tipped over at touchdown. CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here at the NFL Scouting Combine, where over 300 of the top college football players are here to meet and work out for NFL teams. It's also a chance to meet with players' agents. But Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he's focused on the draft.
For me, it's more about getting to know these college players and making sure that the time we spend, not only in the interviews, but watching them compete on the field, you know, the weigh-ins, just everything that they do here, just kind of immersing yourself in that to get to know these guys as well as you can. You don't have this opportunity again. This is kind of a 1 week. So to me, that's the priority.
College hoops. Wisconsin over Washington, 88-62. Marquette down Providence, 82-52. The Bucks losing to the Rockets in Houston by 3, 100-97.
We just didn't play right. They kept getting stops, but then we kept going down, turning the ball over and making bad plays on our own.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. John Hughes was the king of teenage comedies, pretty much up until his sudden death in 2009. At a recent event in Hollywood, producer Adam Fields says Hughes sent him the initial script for The Breakfast Club as a play that was all set in one classroom. When asked about a potential remake, Fields said he did not think the film could be remade because it is character-driven, whereas everything these days is mostly concept-driven. The Breakfast Club recently celebrated the 40th year since its release. The cast of the Oscar-nominated film Conclave, a film about selecting the new pope after the death of a pope, has a lot on their mind, like a potential Best Picture win at the Oscars this coming weekend after winning the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture last Sunday at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Members of the cast wished real-life Pope Francis well as he has been hospitalized with health issues at 88 years old. Isabella Rossellini said, "We love this pope and are worried for him." Life imitating art or art imitating life? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, maybe a sprinkle or flurry, low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, a clearing sky by the afternoon and warmer again, highs low 40s. Windy with maybe some sprinkles Friday, high upper 40s to 50. It's 42 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at a very nuanced topic, Joann Fabrics closing. Does it affect you? Also, what's worse? Food Edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis. We're back now with Native Roots Radio, and I'm your producer, Haley Cherry, and today's guest host is Arvina Martin, who is the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. And we're joined right now by our guest today, who is Ruth Ann Thorne, and she is the producer and host of This is Indian Country. Thank you both for being on with us today. Oh, Arvina?
Oh, yes.
Hey.
I had to check and make sure I had unmuted myself. So I.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I forget to do that sometimes myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I would love to hear a little bit from you, Ruth Ann, about a little bit about where you come from and your tribe.
Well, I am actually right now in downtown San Diego, and our tribe is the Rincon Band of Luseno Indians. We are located 45 minutes northeast of downtown San Diego. And we've been there since the inception of the reservation, which was in the mid-1800s. San Diego has a really interesting history because a lot of people don't know. San Diego has more tribes in San Diego County than anywhere else in the United States. So we have 18 federally recognized tribes, and mine happens to be one of them. So we share the kind of the territories with the Kumeyaay Nation, Degeno, Kupeno, and then Luseno. Those, of course, are all the names that the Spaniards gave us. But our actual tribe is Pale Cowichan people, and we are the people of the West.
I was going to say 18 tribes in one county. We only have 11 tribes in Wisconsin as a state. That's an incredible amount and diversity, I imagine, too, amongst each community.
There is. I mean, there are things that set us apart. There are things that bring us together. I believe that, you know, back when there were no borders, we even have relatives that go all the way down to Mexico and to Baja, you know, because we pretty much were coastal people. So when the colonies came to take our land, and keep in mind, you know, a lot of people don't really think about the fact, you know, we have this idea, even for our own selves as Native people, that the colonies showed up and we had never seen anybody from a different land, but we had traded with people for thousands of years peacefully, coast to coast. And even where you guys are, there were trade routes. We were a country like any other country. And, you know, some of the archaeologists have even said that there were 100 million Native people on this northern continent before we were actually overtaken. So when I talk about like when the Spaniards came, it wasn't like they had only been here one time. We were trading with people from Hawaii, from the Hawaiian Islands. And even as you get up north, I learned a lot through This is Indian Country. Like when you get up to Washington State and Oregon, you'll notice that a lot of the artwork there, I was interviewing somebody and I said to one of the dancers with their masks, I said, you know, your masks look a lot like the masks I've seen in Japan. Mm. And they said, oh, yeah, well, they are, because we traded with the Japanese. I said, really? So this idea that, you know, we've only been a colonized country for less than 300 years. And historically, I mean, as far as, you know, archaeological digs go, we've been here for 23,000 years documented. So when they finally came to take our land, they obviously, you know, put us to work building the missions here in California. Mm-hmm. You know, every single one of those missions were built by Native people. And, you know, then also putting us in boarding schools and feeling like it was necessary for us to get reformed. All of that resulted in also the splitting up of tribes and nations that probably early on, we worked more together as one group of people rather than being separate with separate names. Because a lot of the things that we have done collectively as tribal people, we have a lot in common. I mean, we're known for our basket making. We're known for our bird singing. We have certain traditions that go all the way up, even into Northern California, that are very similar.
Absolutely. I think people do any kind of like learning about any different cultures do them a disservice when they are presented as monoliths or anything like that. And, you know, I think that those were some really great examples of how ideas were passed between communities and taken and repurposed. And, you know, I think that shows, I mean, it clearly shows the connections people had between communities.
I think that's one of the reasons why This Is Indian Country, the series that I've produced and created. I mean, it's not really about any one person. I always say it's kind of like an Anthony Bourdain meets Indian Country. So we travel and we meet people and we hear their stories from their own voices. And it's really fascinating. We'll go into, you know, so we started at the tip of Washington State. And first we went to Minnesota, then we went to Washington, and we spent time in Seattle. And I was able to interview what I like to refer to as the city Indians or the urban natives, whatever you want to say. They aren't all from there. You know, there were Native people that were from, you know, wherever, North Dakota, that ended up in Seattle. But they create a community. And even though they're not Coast Salish people from Washington, they may be from somewhere else, but there's so few of us. They unite together as a community within a city, which is so beautiful. So these people come together. And the commonality is really interesting because the language is different tribe to tribe. The traditions are different, but the heart is the same. And the heart is a very interesting view on the way we should live our lives, with the idea that whatever we're doing, whatever we're creating, our whole idea of living is to give back to community. It's a really important thing. Ideas like honoring our elders and keeping our traditions, telling these stories, because ultimately the stories are really the lifeblood of who we are as Native people. And they always go back to those ideas of community and taking care of each other. And it's really beautiful. So we go into the cities, and then I had an opportunity to go into the reservations. So you get to see this contrast of Native people that are doing great things in cities, like comedians, artists, chefs, politicians, people who are stirring it up. You know, we've got, you know, people who are protesting various things, and not even just for Native people, for non-Native, for the underserved, if you will. And then we go into the reservations and be able to meet some of the elders and really kind of see some of more of the traditional things, water keepers, land keepers, really a vast array of all of this. But what I really wanted to show in This Is Indian Country is to dispel a lot of the myths about what does a modern day Native person look like, one, and not just physically, but what do they do? And then also, why are Native people still holding on to their culture and their tradition? Why is that important? Because a lot of people who are non-Native don't understand that, okay, you know, here we are, we're modern day. Why not just become part of, you know, be American now? You know, let go of your traditions. Everybody in the United States is a melting pot. Why is it that you as Native people can't just get on board with that? So bringing up some of these from actual people's voices, it's a really interesting thing to watch. And so it goes from the state of Washington into Oregon. So again, to the reservations, and then also to the city of Portland, and then California, Northern California. Los Angeles was particularly exciting because I had a chance to really understand why the tribes in the Los Angeles area, in the Tongva Basin, why they were not federally recognized. And so we were able to kind of get into a deep dive about the beginning of LA and how the Indian Removal Act affected those people, but also why, with silent pictures coming in, why mysteriously all of their records were hidden, even though that they were there, was because Hollywood was becoming the next big economic movement within the United States. And so that land, you know, the land developers and the people in Hollywood realized that that land was going to be so valuable that they were not, they were going to make sure that the people who lived there before didn't get a piece of it. So there were these stories that get to be told. And then coming down to where I live and meeting my cousins and various people, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, that was an awesome teaser. And I am like, so I want to hear about the Tongva story more in depth, and hear it from the right people. So to hear it from your show, I'm super excited to watch this coming up. I think that's going to be my weekend binge. So
I can't wait to walk out on the road and film more.
Yeah. And we got to get you back to Minnesota too, to get you to the places that you weren't able to visit when you were here. And then get you back on the radio too with us, hopefully in person. I know we got about a minute left here. Is there anything else that you wanted to shout out? Shout out again where people can watch This Is Indian Country.
So if you haven't gone to FNX, it stands for First Nations Experience. What I like to tell people is that this is our station. If you think about, you know, our brothers who have suffered like we have, which are the African Americans, they've done a really good job of bringing forth their stories through Black entertainment. BET is kind of their network. FNX is ours. And it just was funded to go globally. So you can download the app just like you can Netflix. You can stream it anytime, anywhere. This Is Indian Country premieres March 3rd, and they're going to show one episode every week out of the 12. So they're going to make you wait for it a little bit.
No binging for me.
But I highly recommend it. And it's a great place to learn about, you know, people from our own voices, our own ideas.
Thank you so much, Big Pina Gigi Ruth Ann Thorne, for coming on today with us. We hope to have you back soon. Take care and have a great rest of your day out there.
And you keep doing what you're doing. It's a blessing for everybody.
Pina Gigi, thank you. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll return with Arvina Martin. This is Haley Cherry. Stay with us.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Support comes from the Walker Arts Center. Did you know that the Walker has a cinema that shows film almost every week? From artist talks, genre-defined performances, and world premieres to archival shorts and experimental soundscapes, the Walker Cinema explores all modes of global and local filmmaking. Get your first ticket for free. Visit walkerart.org/cinema to learn more. See you at the movies. walkerart.org/cinema to learn more.
Activism in the 21st century takes many forms. For Minnesota Chippewa artist Rory Wakeemup, it's Funktivism. He uses humor, satire, and regalia to challenge social and environmental injustice. Smart Wars is Wakeemup's latest solo exhibition. It's a bold mix of Indigenous heritage with modern commentary. Through his multimedia art, Wakeemup challenges perceptions and sparks conversations about Native resilience, climate action, and truth-telling. See Smart Wars at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis, February 27th through April 5th. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How? That's our favorite. That's our favorite here on Native Roots Radio. Thank you guys for tuning in today for us while host Robert Pilot takes the evening off, which he is very well-deserving to do. I want to introduce our guest host. We have Arvina Martin with us, who is the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin and one of our great and fabulous guest hosts and also Ho-Chunk relative.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always love being here with you guys.
Oh, we love having you, Arvina. I want to do a shout out. I want you to give all the plugs for Emerge Wisconsin.
Yeah, so Emerge Wisconsin, we are an organization that trains Democratic women and non-binary folks on how to run for office. And then we encourage you to run for office. We are one of 27 states that has an Emerge chapter. And this is the organization I run. You can go to wi.emergeamerica.org to find out more information about us. But basically, it's a six-month program that will give you all of the tools and the building blocks that you need to put together a viable campaign and one that is authentic to who you are, because we don't do cookie cutter candidates.
Yeah. No cookie cutter campaigns, no cookie cutter candidates. Who are some of the alumni that have come out of Emerge?
Well, we were actually founded by a group of women out in San Francisco who had worked to get a woman elected to be district attorney out there. And that woman happened to be Kamala Harris. So we like to refer to her as our first alum. Secretary Deb, Auntie Deb Holland is an Emerge alum. Congresswoman Lucy McBath, Katie Hobbs, the governor of Arizona, is an alum and currently running for governor of Virginia is Congresswoman Abigail Spanbauer, and she's also an Emerge alum.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. A big heavy lineup there. Auntie Deb, she's running for governor of New Mexico, right?
Governor, yes, yes. Now, and I have to figure out how I'm going to divide my time campaigning in Wisconsin and getting to New Mexico and to Minnesota to help both Deb and Peggy.
That's right. Yeah, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, who comes from the White Earth Nation here, announced her race for Senate, which is super exciting.
And I can't wait for her merch to come out. I've already bought one of Deb Holland's Be Fierce t-shirts with her on it looking really fierce. And, you know, I know that substantial amounts of my paycheck are going to be going to these two candidates as we support them. And, you know, getting the first Native woman elected governor in the country and the first Native woman elected Senate to the U.S. Senate, that would be incredible.
That would be incredible. And it's a little bit of a change of pace for us. This is something that we can look forward to. That's exciting. You know, we can look forward to the next, 2 years when hopefully we can flip the majority in the federal election. Also, though, I think, it was hard when we, of course, lost the election in the presidential race because we were rooting for Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan to be the governor here in Minnesota if Tim Walz were elected to the VP seat. We got a little teaser of that. Everyone got super excited. And then that happened. So now this is, you know, even bigger news, I think, in my opinion, to have Peggy in a Senate seat for the United States. And of course, if Auntie Deb gets elected to New Mexico, I think we have to do a little like Ho-Chunk train down there.
Oh, I will absolutely 100% be going to her inauguration. Got to start making more beadwork to sell so I can afford.
Have to like make a little ribbon skirt to match the occasion or something.
Oh my gosh. Right. Right. Oh, just in all of our Ho-Chunk finest, just making our way down there and then trying to get out to DC to see Peggy get sworn in.
Yeah.
So two hugely historic events that could potentially happen in the same night, wow, which is really exciting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how I can be in two places at once, especially two different states, but
right.
We'll try. Maybe one will be virtual and the other will be in person.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then plus being in Wisconsin as well. So
yeah, you're like,
we have our own races happening there that are going to be very important. We have a gubernatorial coming up, and in 2026. So, it'll be fun times here too. So
let's hope so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we do have an election coming up here in Wisconsin on April 1st. Two statewide elections. You're likely to have other local races on your ballot as well. But we will be voting for the superintendent of schools, which is a statewide office, as well as to put somebody on the state Supreme Court. So these are two really big races. And we have two great progressive candidates in Dr. Jill Underley for superintendent of schools, who is also an Emerge alum. And and for state Supreme Court, Judge Susan Crawford is the progressive candidate. And we talked about last week how Elon Musk is pouring hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm sure it will be millions, into Wisconsin, because screwing over the nation is not enough. He's got to come do it state by state.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yay.
I was thinking about that when you were talking about that election. Yeah. I saw, who was it? Is it Jasmine Crockett? I might totally have her.
The congresswoman from Texas?
Yeah. I got her. I don't know. I just saw some interview and she got asked if you could say one thing to Elon Musk directly. And it was like a total F you kind of thing. And that's all she had to say. And I approved that message.
I know. And I love that she just, and she didn't take a beat even. They asked her and she said, yep, this is what I mean.
Yeah. Down, plain and simple, period. Mic drop. Well, I want to shout out to, I saw something come out recently for the 5th annual Ho-Chunk Family Healing Camp.
Oh,
yeah. Did you see that poster come out?
I did see that. And I am going to be completely honest. I'm not sure exactly what all happens at Family Healing Camp. I mean, I feel like I've got a general idea. Yeah. But it sounds like an amazing way to work through a lot of difficult things that families go through, and perhaps even some things like generational trauma or such, you know, that affect all of us and all of our communities.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. I just want to shout out Ho-Chunk too for putting that on. This will be the 5th year that they're doing the Ho-Chunk Family Healing Camp, and that will be August 5th, 6th, and 7th this year at Andrew Blackhawk Powwow Grounds in Wisconsin. I know we got about a minute left here. So I want to shout out a big thank you to our guest host, Arvina Martin, today, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And I want to shout out our amazing guest that we had on Native Roots Radio for the first time, Ruth Ann Thorne, who is the producer and host of This Is Indian Country, which will start airing on March 3rd. So check that out. Thank you, Arvina. Pina Gigi, and hope to see you next week.
Honey, check out.
93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
It's my final day off, which means I recorded this a few days back. Will Todd Alba really be filling in for me on Thursday? Only he and his bail bondsman know for sure.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
For 70 years, we've been known as the Humane Society of the United States. But as the challenges animals face have grown, so have we.
We are now called Humane World for Animals. And with you on our side, we are going to end animal cruelty around the globe. Join us. Humane World for Animals. The end of animal cruelty.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Days before the end of the first phase of a ceasefire, Israel receives from Hamas the bodies of four hostages, and Palestinian prisoners are released and put on a bus. The BBC's Sebastian Usher in Jerusalem.
Phase two would see the release of all the remaining Israeli hostages, alive or dead. It would see Israeli troops withdraw fully from Gaza, and it would see an end to the current hostilities there.
An unvaccinated child in Texas has died from measles in Lubbock. Odessa, Texas mother Caitlin Norris, who has an eight-month-old, is concerned.
It's terrifying. I've read a lot of things about how children have seizures because of the high temperatures of their fevers and brain damage, and they die.
The Trump administration tells agencies to prepare for deep staff cuts. President Trump saying during his first cabinet meeting of his second term.
We're cutting down the size of government. We have to. We're bloated. We're sloppy. We have a lot of people that aren't doing their job. We have a lot of people that don't exist.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.